Welcome to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. I'm J.P. Shadrick. Today's Tuesday, September 20th, and this is our somewhat weekly look at news and people around the Jaguars organization. And to that end, let's start off with an apology again for missing last week's podcast. I was sick as a dog. Limited reps with no voice, so once again, this podcast was a victim of circumstance. Had to get the radio shows in, couldn't get the podcast. So here we are this week, and what a week to come back to. After the Chargers' 38-14 win over the Jaguars in Week 2, a poor performance from a football team that felt like they could hang, but they didn't, and we'll break down a bit of the aftermath coming up. Today, we'll visit with Jaguars' head team physician, Kevin Kaplan, and discuss the relationship between him, the athletic training staff, and the football staff, and also what happens in a situation such as Kelvin Beachum's Sunday in San Diego. But first, some news from around the Jaguars organization. We start, with that Week 2 performance in San Diego. There's a number of ways we could go here. But we'll start with what Gus Bradley said on Jaguars radio after the game. 3 points of emphasis that didn't come through for the Jags. Time of possession, quarterback rating, and taking care of the football. That all comes back to the play of quarterback Blake Bortles. The Jags couldn't find a rhythm and held the ball for only 10.58 in the first half. Bortles' quarterback rating was 77.8, not ideal, and the Jaguars lost the turnover battle 3-1 with 3 first-half turnovers, 2 interceptions from Bortles, and a fumble from Bortles. And after the game, the frustration was clear from number 5.
You know, I think we kind of took ourselves out of rhythm by doing stupid stuff. Obviously, the turnovers and then the penalties. You know, we had talked about during the week trying to win on third down by staying ahead and winning on first and second down, and we weren't able to do that. I mean, we jumped off sides on the first play of the game, and it was, you know, going downhill from there. 3 turnovers in the first half, you know, all completely my fault. It's hard to win when you play like that.
He padded his stats with late half and late game movement of the ball and ended up with his 9th career 300-yard passing game. But to tell you the state of the Jaguars the last couple of years, the Jags are now 0-9 in those games. The play of the quarterback has to be better in ways beyond yardage and in late game losing situations, and he'll be the first to tell you that. Defensively, the Jags had no answer for the Chargers' run game. They set the tone on the opening drive, in fact. Of the 8 plays on that drive, 6 were on the ground, including the opening touchdown run by Melvin Gordon.
First and goal from the 3-yard line of Jacksonville. Early going. Shotgun for Rivers. 10:22 to play in the first. Gordon back in at running back. Inside handoff to Gordon. Lowers his shoulder and runs it into the end zone. Ran right through the tackle of Sheldon Day. 3-yard touchdown run. And San Diego strikes first and quickly.
Gordon finished with 102 yards on 24 carries. A 4.3 yard per carry average. And once the ground game was established, Phillip Rivers went to work. His ability to read the Jags' defense, make a check, and execute put his receivers in the best positions to make plays. He threw for 4 touchdowns, including a 44-yarder to Tyrell Williams early in the third quarter and a 45-yarder to Travis Benjamin late in the third. And those scores opened the Chargers' lead to 35-0 at the end of 3 quarters. And now in 7 career games against the Jaguars, Rivers is 6-1. He has 19 touchdown passes against 4 interceptions against Jacksonville. Discipline is still an issue for the Jags as well. 14 penalties for 93 yards in Week 2 against the Chargers. A preseason problem has now crept into the regular season for a couple of weeks. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley spoke with the media over his Monday conference call, and the team is searching for answers.
We've got to take a look at these things. You know, if there is some things that under our control, like the penalties or busts that are taking place, you know, why are these taking place? And that's the conversation we've had with the players. And now it must be applied. And we must do it in practice, and it's got to carry over. And, you know, the accountability is strong within this team as far as, you know, we all hold each other accountable. And but we got to show these things on the game field.
In the immediate aftermath of the game, fans were already calling for changes. And on that conference call, Bradley was asked if he's at a crossroads regarding job security.
All the intention is we just got to get right. You know, you're not defined by one game. You know, I think if this brings us to the right places, you know, that's my concern right now is to make sure this game, this experience that we have, and, you know, elevates our play and takes us to the right place. And, you know, That's purely all the conversation we're having with our team right now.
There's no doubt that this week is the most important week in this Jaguars regime's tenure in Jacksonville. An 0-3 start going to London week 4 to face the division rival Colts is far from what anyone inside the building expected. So go beat the Ravens, get to 1-2, and then carry a little momentum across the Atlantic to a place that you hope has become a home field advantage. Now to some injury updates. Kelvin Beachum is out of the hospital in San Diego. He's in the concussion protocol, though. No word yet on his status for this week, and they'll figure out who plays where on the line later in the week if Beachum is not available against Baltimore. Denard Robinson, good news for him, was evaluated for a concussion during the game but was cleared. He is not in the protocol moving forward. Our guest on the J.P. Shadrick podcast is head team physician for the Jaguars, Dr. Kevin Kaplan. What's up, Doc?
Good to see you. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. This is, an interesting time. It's going into week 3 now. And a lot of folks are, I think, interested on how the process works. For the team doctors, the team athletic trainers are here every day. You guys come in and handle the big business. But do you? I mean, how does the process work, and what's the relationship with you and the athletic training staff?
So we work very closely hand in hand. I talk to Scott Trulock, our head athletic trainer, on a daily basis, even multiple times a day. Obviously, if you take it from the beginning, at the end of the game, we do an injury check, and then obviously on Monday mornings we come in and recheck the guys. There are some new injuries that may not present themselves Sunday night, and so we'll see those guys Monday and then go through the diagnostic evaluation. So unlike an everyday weekend warrior type athlete who may have a regular job and their knee hurts and they can kind of take their time with it, these guys need to be back with in a certain period of time, or at least be evaluated by a certain period of time, so then I can tell them, I can tell the coaches and general managers, so they can make personnel decisions. So we'll get MRIs and scans on Mondays, and then I'm back on Wednesday reevaluating the guys to see how they're progressing, whether it's a strain or an injury that's minor. They're seeing how they're progressing over the week, and then see them again Thursday to make a decision on who's in and who's out. That way the guys can, Dave Caldwell and coach, and they can make a decision on what athletes they're going to have for Sunday's game. So it's almost a revolving process of seeing guys and how their injuries evolve over the course of a week.
When it comes down to whether a guy's in or out or available, who has the final say in that? Is it you?
Medically speaking, yes. Obviously, there's a performance issue that has nothing to do with me. But, our number one goal, and as physicians and as athletic trainers, is the safety and health of our players. And so we need to make sure that, A, they're safe to go out there and play, and they feel effective, giving their all without risking further injury or hurting the team, so to speak. So from a medical standpoint, we need to make that decision for them. A lot of the guys, and the majority of the guys, will say, I'm good, Doc, I can play. But is it the right thing? That's something that we got to really, determine and kind of talk through with them on whether or not they can go.
Dr. Kevin Kaplan is with us. Okay, so the plan on the sideline during a game, you plan for the worst-case scenario, and, we saw some execution of that in San Diego last week with Kelvin Beachum carted off to the side and staying in the hospital in San Diego. You have to plan for that type of scenario. You'd never want to see it, but that's a process that happens with the training staff and yourselves too, I'm sure.
So actually, those kinds of things, that obviously is the worst case scenario when you have a player face down and you never doesn't get up. Those things we actually rehearse well before the season. It's very scripted for us. You never want to go out there not having practiced what you're going to do when you have a face down athlete. So we all get together before the season and meet with all of our athletic trainers, meet with our emergency personnel, and every team does that. I mean, we were in San Diego, so we don't know those emergency medical technicians, but before the game, there's a medical timeout where we all get together, the doctors on the field, all the emergency technicians, our airway physician, there's an ER physician on every sideline. We have a lot of medical personnel at every game. So we know exactly what we're going to do if that situation arises. So if you watch it and if you really time it, for me, it feels like we're out there for an eternity. But really, if you look at it, it's only a matter of 5 or 10 minutes where that all takes place. So, it's just like the players go out and practice all week long and have a game plan. We have a game plan on what we're going to do in those situations. That's why it's very streamlined, and all you have to do is really focus on the athlete. So
when you focus on the athlete, you want to make sure, first of all, he's there and willing to participate in this, right, and do it the right way, and not scare the heck out of the guy, right? Because this is his livelihood. It's a big deal.
Yeah, one of the biggest things for me, and again, because we practice this, you know, although it's a scary scenario, because we practice it, it seems very smooth when we're out there. And so one of the things that I do, you know, once you make sure that athlete is stable, breathing, moving, is to reassure him. So I don't know if it's if you can see it on the tape or in the video, but one of the things I keep leaning over to him and saying is everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. You're okay. We're just taking precaution to make sure everything's fine. So, you know, it's a very scary scenario for the athlete who is kind of trying to figure out what's going on and why we're doing what we're doing, because they may not have been in that situation before. So there's two different scenarios for us: figuring out what's wrong with the guy and then also figuring out how to reassure them that everything's going to be fine. So
Dr. Kevin Kaplan is with us. I know you have experience in the past in basketball as well, all kind of sports, and folks come into your office all the time, but you have experience helping out with the L.A. Lakers in the past, and I'm sure basketball injuries are a totally different world than football injuries, different kind of contact sport, and you see probably much more severe injuries in football, I'm sure, right?
Just the speed and the power and the size of the athletes coming together in basketball, it's, you know, obviously it's there is power there, but there's more finesse, and you're trying to get around guys instead of going through them. So the injuries that you see is tremendously different. I was amazed, you know, my first year, this is my eighth year in the league, that first year, those first hits. I mean, you can be on a high school sideline and a college sideline, those guys hit, but the size and speed of these guys hitting is unbelievable. When you're down there, and you know this, you've seen this, when you're on the field, it's just a very powerful, strong hit. So those injuries and those contact injuries are totally different than what you see in a game like soccer or football or something like that. You're putting pads on guys, and they're hitting as hard as they can. So,
Doctor, it's you know, you're an orthopedic surgeon at heart, but you're also the team physician now. If there's, you know, if there's an injury, a knee injury, shoulder injury, is it the first instinct to go cut on it? That's probably the last resort. The last thing you want to do for a guy is go cut on a guy. But as a surgeon, how do you balance that with a guy who's injured?
Yeah, the whole process of evaluating an injury, getting an MRI, some injuries are very cut and dry. An ACL tear, for instance, you know, that needs surgery. Things like shoulder instability, labral tears, cartilage injuries, then you have a little bit of leeway to figure out, is this something that's playable or not? So, you know, I'm a very conservative surgeon. I try to treat things conservatively if at all possible. A lot of injuries will present themselves. Either this guy can play with this injury and maybe get it fixed at the end of the season, or you know, this is something that is not playable and needs to be fixed right away. So I go into it with a mindset, if this is something that can be treated conservatively and the athlete can play to his top performance, let him try to play. If rehab doesn't work and if it needs surgery, then you know obviously, yes, that's what I'm trained to do, is fix things surgically, and you always want to do the right thing. So, but you can't go 100% that's surgical 100% of the time. So you got to treat both, you know, the MRI you look at, but you got to really treat clinically how that athlete is doing. We've had multiple players that have had labral tears in their shoulder, which is a cartilage tear in the shoulder from shoulder instability, that have played through the entire season, and then we fix them at the end of the year. So that's something that's possible.
Sure. For you personally, I mean, you're with the Sharks, you're with a couple of schools here in town, JU, UNF, some high school stuff. You have folks off the street that come in to see you in your practice as well. How do you balance all this? I mean, you're the Jaguars physician. That's a very important. It takes up a lot of time, but there's a lot of other people needing your time too, right?
It is a tough balance, especially that with family and a regular life as well. But, you know, it's something that is a dream, somewhat of a dream job, you know, getting to work in the NFL and trying to balance that with my regular practice. I have great ancillary staff. I have a physician assistant, two physician assistants really, that help keep my practice moving while I'm away. And being involved with sports is a passion. So I love doing it. And yes, it takes a lot of time, but it's something that I truly enjoy. And I think if you truly enjoy something, then you find that balance. You know, I'm here 3 to 4 days a week, including game days, and then in my office the same amount of time trying to figure out surgeries, and I've scheduled my surgery time around the players. So Tuesdays is a day off, that's when I'm in surgery. Fridays is a relatively light day here, that's when I do my other day of operating. So it's a tough balance, but I truly enjoy it, and so that's why I keep doing it.
We appreciate your time, and let's hope we don't see you on television the rest of the year. How about that?
I'd rather be a spectator on the sideline than being on the field as much as I was this past week. So I agree with you 100%.
Coming up this week, it is time to lock down the bank. The Baltimore Ravens come to town for week 3. They rallied from a 20-0 deficit to beat the Browns last week to improve to 2-0. And this week has a must-win feel around it for the Jags. Come to Everbank Field, support this Jaguars team, and see if they can rally and get something done this week against the Ravens. Wednesday night, check out Jaguars Live on Channel 4. That's at 8 o'clock. Ashley Mitchum and Jeff Loggeman are your hosts. Thursday night on radio, the Gus Bradley Show airs at 6 o'clock on the entire network, with Jaguars Thursday following at 7 on 1010XL. Both shows are now video streamed on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars app. Also, check out Jaguars Weekend TV on the Jaguars Television Network, a recap of the week that was leading into next week's game. That airs in Jacksonville on Channel 4 Saturday nights at 10:30. Outside of Jacksonville, check your local listings for airtimes. Our thanks to Dr. Kevin Kaplan for coming on this week. And as always, a special thanks to Jaguars manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. And thanks to you for listening. I'm J.P. Shadrick, and we'll talk to you next time on the J.P. Shadrick Podcast.